Two-star pitchers can make or break your fantasy matchup. Come hang out with us while we discuss a few low-owned guys who might help you on your path to victory and a couple higher-owned options that you might want to think twice about. How's it going, everybody? You are tuned in to the Stoned On Sports podcast. My name is Matt. Got my boy here, Kyle, with me as usual, and we are absolutely thrilled today. It is another two-star pitcher video, and we've got a few waiver wire options for you. And if you haven't already, drop a like and subscribe. We'd love to add you to the community. Kyle, how's it going, brother?
Great, man. Love talking two-star pitcher since we really started digging into this a lot more every week. I've just absolutely fell in love with it. And, you know, can't wait to help everybody out with some fantasy options for week five.
Yep, absolutely. And before we even finished our opening segment, Dubo is here in the house. What up, my dudes? How What's you up, doing, man? Dubo? Hope you're having a hell of a day and looking forward to the weekend just like we are. But now it's time to answer the question, to start or not to start. And I'm going to lead us off with Kansas City Royals pitcher Michael Wacha. He is 62% owned in Yahoo leagues. He's got a start at home against Toronto, and then he's at Detroit. Both of those teams are bottom 10 in home runs and runs on the season, and they're really just mid-pack in the past 7 days. Now, we did see a nice little offensive explosion by the Tigers today, but that's the exception, definitely not the rule. Although, as a Tigers fan, it was nice to see, even though it came in a losing effort. Wacha on the season, he started 4 games. He's 1-2, got a 3.75 ERA backed by a 3.28 FIP and a 3.74 xFIP. The whip is a very, very nice 1.04, 21 strikeouts, 6 walks across 24 innings pitched. For those of you that don't math that well, just like me, that's 6 innings a start, and I will absolutely take those innings. He's somebody who's never really been that big of a strikeout pitcher, just a career 8 Ks per 9. This season, he's at 7.9. We'll round it up to 8. He does have a 22.6% K rate this season and we'll call it pretty good, 29.3% called plus swinging strikes. And he is throwing a lot of strikes, which is what we absolutely love to see. 64% of pitches are strikes for him. And you really want to see about a 2-to-1 ratio. He does a good job at limiting walks, just 2.4 walks per nine over the last 4 seasons. And he's down to 2.3 walks per nine this year. That's just a 6.5% rate, about 2% below league average. He does a good job of keeping the ball in the yard. He's only allowed 2 home runs so far this year. Look, we got to be real. He's benefited from facing the White Sox twice, but he's gotten just 9 runs of total run support in his 4 starts and just 1 run in the last 2. He's doing a good job of limiting the hard contact as well. Just an 85.7 mile an hour exit velocity and a 33.3% hard hit rate. He's primarily a fastball changeup pitcher. He does mix in a cutter and curve on occasion, but he has an 11.5 mile an hour delta between his fastball and changeup, and we love to see that. And his fastball velocity is actually up a tick early in the season. The Royals' defense isn't too bad behind him. I talked about Detroit's struggles, and Toronto hasn't really been all that great either. I think these are a couple nice matchups for him.
Yeah, they are, and the parks are nice too for him as well. You know, that helps. He pretty much, you know, covered really everything. You know, he says he averaged 6 innings per start with that 24 innings, but he's at least 5 frames in all 4 of his starts. I really like it. And striking out a little less than a batter per innings, you know, it's good. It's not elite rates, but staying around league average. And this guy's in his 30s, you know, looking good. And his numbers would look a lot better, too, if it wasn't for last week's defeat. I think it was Friday against the Mets. He had 10 hits. And gave up 5 runs while taking the loss to them 6-1. But you mentioned no run support. He's going to need some help with that. But he had a great season last year. I think that he can keep in line with that. He's probably not going to go 14-4 again. But the ERA was nice at 3.22 with a 3.89 FIP in 134 innings. So I really like him. I had him on my team last year, and he really helped me win some matchups. Definitely in the first half of the season, he kind of got a little worse as time went on through the season. But definitely somebody with great matchups for week five that if you need some help, pitcher injuries, everything going on, he's a fine option, especially one that will be available.
Yes. You know, yeah. And we're still early in the season. We're talking about four starts. All these ratios and numbers can swing wildly just based off one start. So keep that in mind. But so far, so good, considering, you know, probably what Kansas City was expecting to get out of him. And for the 62% of you that do have him rostered, I don't really think you have much to complain about.
No, not at all. All right, we're headed to St. Louis for... We're talking about some older guys. here's another one. Lance Lynn with the St. Louis Cardinals. It's actually a second stint there in St. Louis. It's got a home game Monday the 22nd against the Diamondbacks and then travels to the New York Mets on Sunday the 28th. He's had four games started this season, just 1-0, 20 and two-thirds innings pitched. Only five earned runs, which is nice in those 20 innings. Four home runs with a nice 2.18 ERA. The whip's a tad high at 1.21, but not bad. The best thing I love is them earned runs. He's only allowed one earned run or fewer in three of those four starts. Strikeout rates, right about average, a tick under at 21.6. Walk rate, same, about average. 8 flat, but the whiff rate as well, average 24.9%. Does allow a fair amount of hard contact. So hard hit, barrel rate, exit velo, they're all kind of well below league averages. In fact, the hard hit rate is at 45.2 this season. That's pretty hard, but his career norms have really been around the mid-30s, so I expect that to regress back to the mean a little bit and correct itself over the year. Does excel in getting batters to chase. Really fantastic that he's top 25% in the league in that. I really like. He's got a little bit of swing and miss. He's got his first win of the season. I think it was Tuesday against the Athletics. Just allowed two runs. One of them was earned. That's really all you need to know in fantasy. On five hits and one walk while striking out just one over seven innings. Watching some of that game, it was kind of a textbook example of efficiency and control despite that low strikeout total. It might raise some eyebrows among you fantasy managers used to seeing higher strikeout numbers from him. I think they're going to come. But the FIP, the 4.95 FIP, that suggests some potential regression on that too. It kind of indicates, you know, his current success right now might be somewhat kind of fluky, for lack of a better term. So especially with the low BABIP, it's really low at 0.241. So he's getting definitely pretty lucky there in the defense behind him. But he's, like I said, he's been around for a while. Since he's 36 years old, but he's still really, you know, an absolute, I'll still use the word workhorse, even at the 36-year-old mark. But he started 32 games between the White Sox and Dodgers last year, threw 183 innings, had 191 Ks, I mean, and a pretty damn average walk rate. So whip was high last year at 1.39. Does have a tendency to give up some homers as well. Not doing too bad at it this year, but he did lead the majors in homers allowed last year with 44. So you look at the Statcast data, even from last year, mostly average pitcher. But what I like about him, he can eat innings. He can get outs. The strikeouts are going to come. They're not going to be elite, but they're going to come. And I think that can make one hell of a difference in your fantasy matchups for week five and beyond.
Yeah, and you talk about the strikeouts coming. They may come as soon as that first start against Arizona. They've been a little bit cold at the plate. Just a 2.22 average over the last 7 days with 39 strikeouts and just 44 hits. You have to understand when you're talking about a pitcher whose age and ownership percentage are that close together, we're not talking about an ace. We're not talking about an elite pitcher. What we are talking about, though, is a solid option who, like you said, he can go out there, he can give you some innings, he can give you some strikeouts. He doesn't generally get blown up, so you know that maybe, you know, he's not going to win you the week, but he's also not going to lose you your week either.
Right. And he's just 39% owned on Yahoo right now. So that's a good option for next week if you need some help.
Absolutely.
All right. We've got heading to New York. Jose Quintana with the New York Mets. Just 14% owned on Yahoo right now. He's got to start Monday the 22nd at San Francisco. And then the following, or the Sunday there, the 28th, home versus St. Louis. It looked okay. He was the Mets opening day starter this year, probably because what's his name was hurt. Can't think of his name, but
Kodai Senga.
Thank you. And he started four games. He's 1-1, 20 and two third innings pitch. ERA is decent, 3.05, but the whip's pretty high at 1.50. K rate's not striking out enough people, too. That's just too low at 17.6. And the walk rate's 12.1. It's just too high. I expect those to normalize a bit, especially the walks as the season progresses. So it's kind of, you know, for myself included, it's kind of suggesting, you know, a mixed bag for him so far this season. Because last year he was pretty good. The walk rate was 7.5%. He ranked in the top 35% of pitchers in the league last year. So like I said, especially the walks, I think will come more in line. You look at his Statcast data, there's not, you know, too much to love. The only really above metric he was in there was the ground ball rate. It's excellent at 43.8. So again, these are low owned guys. Okay. What did I say? He was 14% owned. These are a fifth starter you can throw out in your fantasy league to try and, you know, just with the matchups, they're great. Hard hit rate. It's kind of high so far at 45.3. He's been hit hard in two of his four starts against the Braves and the Brewers. That's a couple teams with higher hard hit rates. It's going to happen. But I think that'll come down as well, too, as the season progresses. He's been in the low mid-30s the last couple seasons. His career rate's at 36.1, which is still under MLB average. So what's really skewing that thing, that hard hit rate, is a sinker. He throws that pitch the most, 33% of the time, but that hard hit is a 54.5% clip on that sinker. So his K through nine, modest at 7.00, and the FIP of 4.55, you know, kind of indicates some potential underlying issues that could lead to some less favorable outcomes in the future. But in his last three starts, he's pitched at least five innings while also allowing three runs or fewer. I'd like him. If you're looking for an edge for your week five matchups with two starts in pitcher parks, Citi Field and Oracle Park, you could do worse.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly on this one. And as a matter of fact, I picked him up in our home league. You look at San Francisco and St. Louis, both of those teams are in the bottom half in the NL and runs scored. The Cardinals have actually scored the second fewest, and they are the worst team in the NL against lefties. They've hit one home run. They have a 181 average, a 314 on base, and just a 598 OPS this season against left-handed starters. Granted, we're talking small sample size here. You know, you talked about he doesn't really strike out many guys, and that's true, but he's also never really been a big strikeout pitcher. That's not really a deviation from the norm for him. One of my bigger concerns about him is just a 5-mile-an-hour delta between his fastball and changeup. That means hitters can sit one and adjust to the other, and that can be problematic. And just a 6.6% swinging strike rate, if you're not going to strike out a lot of guys, at least give me some swing and miss. But considering the matchups and like you said, the stadiums, for a dude who's 14, 15% owned, cool. I'm going to roll with it. My ass is rolling with him next week.
Yep. I saw that you picked him up. So that'll work for you. We got Blue Yays in the chat. Hey, boys, just popping in to say hi before dinner. Hope y'all are having a great week. You too, man. Thanks for the support. Thanks for popping in.
What's up, Blue? Hi.
Heck yeah. I love it. All right. Who you got next, Matt?
So we are going to go to the Twin Cities talking about Chris Paddock of the Minnesota Twins. He's got that starting pitcher, relief pitcher, dual eligibility. He is just 6% owned. And with him, this is he's on the list because of these starts.
Yeah.
At home against the White Sox and at the Angels, you couldn't ask for two better starts. This season in three starts, he's 0-1, an 8.36 ERA. That's backed by a 6.91 FIP and a 5.43 XFIP, a whip over 2, 9 strikeouts, 5 walks, and 14 innings pitched. But we talked about it earlier, small sample. He got blown up by Baltimore's last time out, 12 hits, 9 earned runs, over 5 1/3 innings pitched. But he's still giving you a roughly 2-1 strike to ball ratio. His velo is in line with his career averages. And he's somebody who is still kind of getting the feel for things. He's only pitched 41 1/3 innings over the last three seasons. His strikeout rate is pretty low at just 12.9%. But he's got a nice delta there between the fastball and change, and that's a recurring theme on this show. I love to talk about that. 11 miles an hour. Right now he's sitting at a 17.9% whiff rate, which is about 7% below his career norms. So there's going to be some, and I hate this phrase, but positive regression coming with him there. Just 48% of his pitches are in the zone this year, and he's not really getting batters to chase. He's got just a 26% chase rate. That's no bueno. Now, if it was a little bit higher, maybe it's 30%, 32%, you'd see it reflected in some swing and miss or you know, weaker contact, whatever it may be. Look, there's no doubt about it. He has struggled this year so far. But at the same time, if you are desperate for a couple starts and maybe looking for somebody that can get you 9 or 10 innings against subpar competition, this is your guy.
Yeah. It is. And I identified him right away a few days ago. I'm like, we're talking about Chris Paddock just because, you know, I knew he was owned 5% or less, just looking around. But this is a guy that's had Tommy John not once, but twice. One of those rare guys that has had it twice. He looked good. He returned very late last season, pitching out of the bullpen. After that recovery from Tommy John, like I said, he looked great. The fastball was up a career high at 95.3 miles an hour in the offseason, and some this spring. He's added a cutter to his arsenal. So I think adding another pitch to his repertoire could really get him to kind of return to form. Back in like 2019, he was pretty good with a 3.33 ERA, almost a 27% strikeout rate, and pitched 140 and 2/3 innings for the Padres. The durability thing's a concern. He's never threw over 141 innings in his whole professional career in a season. So, but he's a pitcher with, you know, some unique traits. And I think he should have a chance to be a valuable starter. He's still only 28. So I think he still has time to prove that he still has what it takes. This is a guy you're just going to pick up for week 5 and you're going to drop for week 6 as well. But somebody to keep on the lookout for later in the season to see how he's doing. And even somebody to look ahead to possibly draft next season if he does pretty well.
Yeah, for sure. And there is a concern too. You know, we talked about Oakland and LA not having the greatest offenses. Minnesota doesn't either. So yeah. I'm not sure how much run support he is going to get. I don't know how much he's going to need.
This is true.
Time will tell.
Yeah. I mean, when you're 6% on, you're
yeah. There's a reason he's 6% on.
Yeah. But the starts are nice. Okay. Heck yeah. All right. We're headed down, whatever that is. What, I-90 from Minnesota? No, I-90's under there. Anyway, we're headed to Chicago.
94, I think.
With Jordan Wicks, with the Cubs. He was the 21st overall pick in the 2021 draft. He really shot up through the minors last year. He's got a start, on the 23rd on Tuesday, home versus Houston, and then Sunday the 28th at Boston. He started 4 games this season. He's 0-2 and 17 innings pitched. The ERA is a bit high at 5.29, and the whip is high as well at 1.76. Excellent strikeout rate so far in this small sample size of 28.2. Walk rate, tick high at 10.6, but I could live with that. His last start on the 17th, just yesterday at Arizona, kind of a mixed performance, 4 1/3 innings pitched and a no decision, 5 hits, one of them was a dinger, gave up 2 earned runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks. So you kind of like to see that. It was definitely an improvement, well, slight improvement over his troubling start to the season. The K through 9, it's impressive, 12.7. That continues to really be, you know, the silver lining, so to speak, as well. So I'm seeing more potential for fantasy if he can find definitely, you know, more consistency, more control. BABIP, a little elevated at 408, kind of indicates some bad luck, which should, again, regress to the mean. If you take a look at some of his Statcast data, chase, whiff, strikeout rates, like I mentioned, excellent so far, finding himself in the top 20% in the league in all three of those categories. Hard hit rate, pretty average, but a bit more concerning is the low exit velo and the barrel rate. A little bit of troubling trends for him. You know, through his first 4 starts, he's allowed 5 hits or more, while also walking at least 3 in 2 of those 4 starts. Now, who did he play in those 4 starts? 2 of them came against the Rangers and the Dodgers. You know, come the fuck on, all right?
Some tough lineup.
Yeah, it is. So the week 5 starts against the Red Sox and Astros, both are mid-pack in runs scored. I'm definitely more concerned with the Houston start, as that's a team that's top 5 in OPS, third fewest strikeouts in the league as well. But the one at Boston, Boston's just not doing well. Not doing well at all. Bottom 10 in on-base percentage, bottom 10 in OPS. They're 5th in the majors with 181 strikeouts, 5th highest. Not good. So this guy, he's young, still maturing on the mound. Just appeared in only 7 games last year. He's how old is he? 24. So what I see when I watch him is when he gets stuck in games, like when a pitch isn't, you know, effective for him, he's still trying to figure out how to combat that. And you're doing it up in the majors. So I know we kind of went back and forth on Jordan Wicks, but let's say if you're in daily moves, you might consider just starting him for Boston and holding out for the Astros. But somebody on the rise, though, you should definitely keep an eye on him in the future for signs of, you know, improvement and adjustments.
Yeah, damn, you hit on just about everything there.
Cool.
You know, you did talk about his 2 starts issuing 7 walks. He had just 2 combined in the other 2 starts, or just just 2 walks in the other starts. I don't like that he has yet to go 5 innings, right? Yeah. I don't mind the Houston start as much because it's at home. If it was in Houston, I think I would dislike it a little bit more. And you know, you hit the nail on the head with Boston. They've got a 665 OPS over the last week.
Yeah.
That's no bueno.
No.
But I like the 3 pitch mix. His fastball, it's not overpowering, but he makes it work. And he's got that 10 mile an hour delta there. You know, so I think for him, he needs to focus on, you know, moving up, down, in and out, changing speeds and just go out there and let it fly. A lot of times with pitchers, especially young guys, they get out there and they think too much instead of just going up there, towing the rubber and slinging that shit.
Agreed.
So next guy we're going to talk about, he had a little bit of hype coming into draft season. He's got a great home ballpark. I'm talking about Keaton Wynn of the San Francisco Giants. Next week, he's got starts at home against the Mets and at home against Pittsburgh. So he's got those 2 home starts, that beautiful park. The Pirates, well, they've scored the most runs on the road of anybody in Major League Baseball. They've also played the most games on the road, and they have the most strikeouts. The Mets have looked good on the road so far this season, but it's only been 6 games, and they scored 16 in one of them, so that's really skewing a lot of the data. Sure. He started four games. He's gone 1-3, a 409 whip. That's backed by a 406 FIP and a 398 XFIP. The whip is at 109, and generally I'm happy anything below 1.1. 17 strikeouts, 8 walks, and 22 innings pitched. He's looked really good, though, in his last two starts. Just 3 earned runs, 10 strikeouts, 3 walks, 17 swinging strikes, and 11 innings pitched. That said, he still doesn't really strike out as many as you'd like right now. His rate's at 19.5%. The walks are a little high at 9.2. That's about 0.5% over league average. Not terrible, but you're not thrilled about it. But he's in the top 20% of the league with a 32.7% chase rate. Hard contact is a little bit high with him as well. 47.2% hard hit rate and a 92.6 mile an hour average exit velocity, but he's being saved by an elite 56.7% ground ball rate.
Heck yeah.
And he gets a good amount of movement on his pitches, both on the vertical and horizontal planes. He works in the zone, especially early. He's got a 67.8% first pitch strike rate. And he's one of the very rare pitchers that actually leads with a splitter. But like I was saying, all of his pitches get a fantastic amount of movement, and that really helps to contribute to the ground ball rate that's saving him. Because if you're smoking the ball, but it's just a grounder to third, I don't give a shit. Yeah. Vacuum that up, fire it over to first, next man up.
Yeah. I mean, it really, the last two starts of performance, it's kind of like it. I think it's a sign of some stabilization. You know, I think there's a potential upward trend in his fantasy value. I was somebody I looked at earlier this season for in draft season, somebody I, you know, researched a bit, but make sure you follow him though. You know, this is a guy you're just really going to pick up for these two starts, but dealt with elbow soreness in the spring. He's already had Tommy John surgery and, he missed the 21 season. So before that, and he had elbow trouble last year as well, spent a month on the IL. So watch him in the future, but two starts this week. I like it at Oracle. I mean, that's a great place to pitch if you're a pitcher. That was stupid.
It's all right. We'll let it slide. We're yeah. Used to that.
Yeah.
At least you know, didn't make up words like I did and you have a tendency to do.
Heck yeah.
Leading bat off.
Leading bat off. Heck yeah. All right. Next up. I hate saying next up. I need another phrase.
Coming next.
Coming next. All right. Another guy you might not know about. He's only 2% owned on Yahoo. Starting pitcher Bailey Falter with the Pittsburgh Pirates. Got a matchup Tuesday the 23rd at home versus the Brewers. And Sunday the 28th. At Oracle Park against the Giants on the season. 4 games started. He's 1-1 over 20 innings pitched. Allowed 14 hits, 9 earned runs, 3 homers, 5 walks, 10 Ks. He's had a 4.05 ERA, 0.95 whip. Kind of like that. He's been decently strong on the mound so far. He's only been tagged for 3 runs over his last 3 starts in 16 innings, lowering that ERA I just mentioned to 4.05 because he was a bit higher. He started yesterday against the Mets, did take the loss in 5 innings pitched, 4 hits, 2 home runs, a homer, a walk, and 4 Ks. So I like the ratios. He threw 73 pitches, 47 of them for strikes as well. You know, despite a relatively controlled performance in terms of hits and walks, you know, he couldn't avoid the loss because fucking lost 9-1. Okay. You need some damn runs. So there's some points there to be had in fantasy, but it likely won't be in the win category. So the strikeout rate, the 4.5 K per 9, yeah, it's a little bit of cause for concern for fantasy managers looking for more punch outs, but that's not what we're here for. We're here to identify the matchups that are going to help for the two starts next week in week 5 and here going forward, actually. So Statcast data, top 15% in average exit velo, top 20% in both walk rate and hard hit rate. Chase rate, it's average, but below average in terms of whiffs, Ks, which, of course, we just mentioned, barrel rate and ground ball rate. I am encouraged by his decrease in max exit velocity. It's currently at 109 flat this season, much higher his last few seasons, 115 in 22, 118 in 2023. So It looks so his 22 season was definitely much better than his 23 season. So you're kind of hoping last season was just, you know, a blip on the radar, right? He's 26 years old. He's a lefty, got plenty of time in front of him. So this is a guy that I would add personally on my team if I already had, you know, some good strikeout pitchers. You know, he's a good add for that week five. And then another guy you're going to drop immediately after in week six. So the start against the Brewers, it's a bit concerning in a hitter's park. They are seventh in runs scored, second in on-base percentage, but they've cooled off, you know, in the last half week or so. So we'll see. But the Giants start, I love. Pitcher's park, they are 19th in runs scored, middle of the pack in on-base percentage, strikeouts and walks. And just like, you know, with Jordan Wicks, you know, I know we're talking about two starts, but just to give you guys some extra help, you might consider holding him out in a daily league. You might consider Milwaukee and just start him versus the Giants. So hopefully he doesn't falter.
Look at you with the pun. His first start against Miami was really bad. His ass got touched up.
Yeah.
You brought up the lack of strikeouts and you know, in points leagues, they're important. He is a desperation play. Fucking loud boy. He is an absolute desperation play. I prefer him in daily leagues where I can just start him at San Francisco and sit him against Milwaukee. Now, with Christian Yelich being out of that lineup, they do lose a bit of punch. Sure. But at the same time, there's still plenty of other bats who have been pretty damn good this season there. His lack of walks is his saving grace, and the fact that he limits hard contact because there is absolutely nothing that is overpowering in his arsenal. You hit the nail on the head, dude. He is a 1 week, maybe even one start fill-in. There's a reason he's 2% owned, but if you're desperate, you're desperate. You know, you do what you have to do to squeeze out as many points as you can get and go for that dub.
Heck yeah. Do you want to address the Supersonic Loud Boy Enterprise comment?
Yeah, let's see here. Guys know anything that helps guys between the age of 35 to 55 with ED asking for a friend.
Man, that is our audience too.
Yes, it is.
Get yourself onto Roman or Blue Chew or one of those apps and, you know, talk to a doctor virtually and get yourself some pills. I mean, that's the easiest thing.
Yep. Next thing you know, you'll have a little brown bottle that you can keep in your desk and you shake it. And no, it's not cat treats, but it can help you with the pussy.
I love it.
All right. So we've talked about some decent options, depending on your situation. And now there's a couple guys, like I said, in the open where, you know, maybe you want to think twice about them. The first one of those is Kevin Gausman of the Toronto Blue Jays. And it's been an interesting start to the season for him, right? He's got games at Kansas City and home against the Dodgers, and already I don't like that. I'm hesitant to start anybody against the Dodgers, especially a pitcher who's been struggling. He's been dealing with the shoulder issue that he had in the spring, some fluctuations in his velo. Looking at his start yesterday, it was looking like he was having a hard time commanding his splitter, which is a problem. Because splitters dive down out of the zone, but if he can't get it to start high enough up, hitters are just going to look at it. They're going to watch it go by, and then they're going to be happy to take first base. So far through four starts this season, he's 0-2 with an 8.16 ERA. The FIP and XFIP are better at 4.94 and 4.00 respectively. The whip is high at 1.74. He does have 16 strikeouts and just 5 walks and 14 and a third innings pitched. Two of the starts were really bad. Yeah. He gave up 11 earned runs in just 5 innings. He did look better his last time out. Like I was saying before, 4 hits, 1 earned, 6 Ks, 3 walks, which is a little high, over 5 innings pitched. He was really inefficient. It took him 101 pitches to get through 5 frames. He's given up much more hard contact than we're accustomed to. 44.7% hard hit rate, 91.8 mile an hour average exit velocity. As a result, his BABIP is kind of high at 395. But they were also high last year, his hard hit rate and his BABIP. And I have to wonder, is the shoulder injury lingering? Is he still trying to get a feel for everything? You know, is this still his spring training, right? Yeah. Because he missed that time. I don't know. He's getting plenty of swinging strikes, 13% rate. He's got a 29.1% called plus swinging strikes. He's giving up more fly balls and line drives here early in the season and fewer ground balls. He's at 8% below his career average there. I don't think I'm going to bench him because I'm going to have a hard time sitting Kevin Gausman, especially considering what you paid for him. But I am not overly optimistic given his early season performance. And in daily leagues, if I can sit him against the Dodgers, I will. Kansas City, they were a hot offense for a minute, but they've kind of cooled back off, so I'm not overly concerned about them. But, you know, not to beat a dead horse, then I ain't fucking with the Dodgers.
No, I'm not. But Kaufman's pretty spacious. So, I don't know. We'll see. He's definitely not fully built up to start to see it, you know, for the season. He's just not. He's still in his spring training, like you mentioned. You mentioned that fastball velo. It's been really inconsistent start to start. So, and it's led to a lot of uneven results. His drop in fastball velo, he said yesterday that he said it's the cold weather. So, well, not yesterday, last week. So, you look around and you see some pitchers. It seems to be some of them are struggling this season, and batters heat up in the summer too when it heats up. So, definitely keep a close eye on his velo in upcoming starts. But I expect him to land on his feet. You know, the 10.05 K per nine is nice. It offers you some hope for managers searching for strikeouts. But you mentioned that high BABIP. That's, you know, he's been somewhat unlucky. So. He still remained, you know, this is a guy that's pitched more than 600 innings from 20 to 23. So, and you need to keep that, you know, strong track record in mind.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, his velo was back up in a start yesterday against the Yankees, I believe, up around, you know, average 94.8, 94.9, something like that, I think it was. And that's where you're accustomed to seeing it. But still. Anytime there is a shoulder injury, I'm always very, very leery of that. You know, we'll see. I mean, it's not like I'm going to drop him. And no. Like I said, I'm not going to bench him. I just really don't want to start him against the Dodgers if I don't have to.
Yep. These are the decisions you have to make that either make or break your, you know, your weekly matchup at least. So, all right. That's gobbledygook. Never mind. Gotta deal with that. Okay, so just one more pitcher highly owned that we just like Matt said, you might want to think twice about running him out there, and that's Dylan Cease with the San Diego Padres. He's owned 87% in Yahoo leagues. He's got to start Monday the 22nd at Colorado and Saturday the 27th at home versus the Philadelphia Phillies. He was traded this offseason to the Padres from the White Sox. He started four games this season. He's 2-1. I think he's one of the only guys we talked about that actually has a winning record. In 22 and two-third innings pitch, he's got you three quality starts, allowed just 10 hits, five earned runs, just one dinger, 11 walks, 27 Ks. ERA is under 2. And the whip is sub 1 as well at 0.93. And opponent batting average against 1.27. That's pretty good. Strikeout rate is excellent at 30% flat. Walk rate's you know, a little bit high at 12.2%. He started Tuesday versus the Brewers, got a little wild, walked a handful of batters, but still picked up his fourth straight start with two or fewer earned runs. He's also struck out 7 in 3 consecutive appearances. So you're probably, you know, recommending, oh, why, Kyle, are you telling me these great stats and not recommending to start him in week 5? Well, because the bad news is coming in a form of a start in Colorado and some of his batted ball data. So this season, ground ball rate of 32.7. That's about 10% less than MLB average, putting him in the bottom 13% of pitchers. And if you see his fly ball rate this season, you don't want to see, you don't want to start him at Coors Field. It's a whopping 53.8%. That's more than double the MLB average. That's not going to fucking fly at Coors. Well, it actually will fly right over the fucking fence. So looking at his Statcast data, there's, you know, there's a little bit of smoke. Of course, the strikeout rate is top 17% in the league, along with his whiff rate, top 25% of the league. Hard hit rate, he's just an average pitcher range in that respect. But after that, that's about it. Below average in chase rate, walk rate, and barrel rate. So, you know, Colorado, you're not starting him there. I would not. I just wouldn't. And the Phillies, you say, okay, well, they haven't really performed to expectations so far this season. Man, they still got a powerful fucking lineup. They got Harper. They got Schwarber, among others. So, and Citizens Park there in Philly, it's top 10 in park factors. It's a hitter's park. So, Cease has been good so far this season, but, you know, I think you should bench him this week. Now, again, daily leagues, maybe you want to bench him for Colorado and start him at Philadelphia. But I don't like it.
Yeah, I hear you. And starts in Colorado, it's not that a pitcher can't go there and be successful. It's just good luck figuring out when it's going to happen. Right. The dude throws gas. He is a strikeout machine. If he could figure out how to cut down on the free passes, we're talking about a Cy Young caliber pitcher here.
Yeah, yeah.
His velo is up. His BABIP is crazy low at 176. So, yeah, we're going to see that ERA come up.
Sure.
Past couple times out, he's been awesome. Four hits, one earned run across his last two starts, 12 innings pitched, 14 strikeouts, 24 swinging strikes. But here it is again, 7 walks. Mm-hmm. And he's playing with fire. And he always has. But that's... we knew what he was coming into the season, and that's why he was drafted where he was. Is, yeah, he's going to give you the strikeouts, but he walks guys, and then up comes ERA. Up comes the whip. It's going to happen, right? On the bright side, though, he should get plenty of run support there from the Padres offense. He's another dude, like, you just, all they need him to do is just keep them in the game. They're going to score some runs there in San Diego. In Colorado, like, I don't want any part of a 10-8 game.
No,
I really don't. And quite honestly, you could get the same thing in Philly. It's not as likely, but still, like, we see the ball fly out of there. He's a good overall pitcher. This is just not the best week for him.
Yeah. Okay. What do we got? All right, so we now wanted to target some low-owned waiver wire targets for week 5, get you a heads up on that before, you know, next Tuesday or whenever your waiver period is. And we have 4 of them for you, and it's outfielder week for waiver targets. All 4 of these guys are outfielder. Could be a challenging position to find some production at, and some lower-owned guys here that are trending up. We think might be able to help you next week and possibly going forward, or at least ride the hot streak. First guy we got for you is Mitch Haniger with the Seattle Mariners. If that name sounds familiar to you, you may remember in 2019, he suffered a ruptured testicle after fouling a ball off himself. What a fucking way to go on the IL.
That sounds right? Painful.
It sounds very bad. 18 games played so far. He's got 19 hits and 73 plate appearances, 3 doubles, 3 homers, 13 RBIs, 10 runs, 8 walks, 18 strikeouts, slashing 292, 370, 477 with an 847 OPS. He's 33 years old, but he's kind of looking like the guy who slugged 485 with 100 RBIs back in 2021. He's currently on a 4-game hit streak with 10 hits in those games. I mean, he's playing outstanding. He's walking at an above average clip at 11%, but also striking out a lot. And you get some of that with these sluggers. He's striking out 28% of the time. Some of that will probably come down a bit. But he's backing up those marks with a 47.7 hard hit rate and a line drive rate of 25%. Statcast data, above average in barrels, hard hit rate, chase rate, and walk rate, and expected average and expected slugging, expected slugging. So you got a 3-game series at Texas. That's Globe Life Field, top 5 hitter park. 3 games in Arizona, middle of the pack there for Chase Field. But both teams are mid-ranked, the Texans and the Diamondbacks, or the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. Both teams are mid-ranked in pitcher ERA, earned runs, and homers allowed. I think his ability, you know, to contribute power and consistent run production makes him a valuable asset in fantasy lineups. His knack, he's got a knack for extra base hits as well, and driving in runs. If you're looking for outfield productivity, this is the guy to target. I think he has, you know, a very respectable ceiling when it comes to his talent. This is a guy that's going to be your fourth outfielder, maybe your util, but definitely try and get him and keep him and at least ride the hot streak. And if it goes cold, drop him. But a good pick.
Yeah, and I think, too, if you're going to get him, now is the time to do it, because that Mariners team right now is not hitting worse shit. But once they do, his opportunity for run production is just going to go up. You know, he does a great job of getting on base, 2 solid matchups. And even though he strikes out a lot, he's not going to kill your average if you're in a roto league. I am surprised, though, at the relatively low exit velocity of just 86 miles an hour. I think that's going to improve as the season wears on. I've had him in years past and been very happy with the production he's given me. If you're going to pick him up, like I said, do it now. Do it before that Mariners offense starts to heat up, and also do it while he's still on the field.
Yeah, and he's 27% owned in Yahoo right now, but he's up 7% in the last 24 hours. So people are taking notice. So if you don't act fast, you might not get a chance to get him.
Nope. So we're going to stick with the theme of outfielders here, and we've talked a lot about this team here just in the past few minutes, talking about the Phillies, and I'm talking about Mr. Beard and long hair there, Brandon Marsh. He's doing all right this season. Through 18 games, he's got a 288, 306, 542 triple slash, 4 home runs, 10 RBIs, and he's stolen a base. He's playing every day now, even against lefties, which he never used to do, despite the fact he's hitting just 188 with a 472 OPS against them. Look, you can't score any points if you're not on the field. And if they're going to run him out there, I'm going to find a spot for him. He's more of a UT spot for me as opposed to outfielder. Maybe if you're in a league where you start 5 outfielders instead of 3, sure, he's your 5th outfielder. He's got 7 games next week against the White Sox and then at Cincinnati in that series with the White Sox.
4 at Cincinnati too.
Yes. 4 yeah. at Cincinnati, and they miss Crochet. So that's a good thing for him too. In the past, he's shown he can draw a walk right now. He's not really done it much this year. I expect that to change as the season wears on. He's making superb hard contact. Dude is just straight smoking the ball. I expect a few more of those to drop in for him. I don't think he's ever going to be a 300 hitter, but you know, he can go on a 2 or 3 week hot streak where he hits, you know, 300 and might hit you 5 home runs. And they're also moving him up and down in the order over the past week to 10 days. He's hit anywhere from 5th to 8th. Just kind of depending on the matchups, and they're pretty smart about that there in Philly. They're I don't want to call them an analytics team, but they're not stupid with how they do things. At 38% owned and what he can give you, I'm fine throwing in a waiver claim for him in a fab league. Maybe I throw in, 5 or 10% of my budget.
Yeah. And he's, you mentioned 38% owned. He's plus 2% in the last day. So some people are out there, you know, giving him a shot, going to roll the dice and see how it goes. And you mentioned that the strikeout rate's not very good, but I have every reason to believe he's going to correct those. So he's improved his strikeout rate and walk rate every year in the big league. So he's getting some hits. He's good. He hit safely 7 out of the last 10 games. You mentioned he smoked the ball. And yeah, I was going to mention earlier in the season, he was batting 7, 8, and 9, and you see him batting 5 and 5, 5th and 6 more, which is Hopefully going to increase some more runs, some RBIs. Fly ball rate has really, so he's increased his fly ball rate each of the last 3 years. So it's also corresponded to a better home run to fly ball rate every year as well. His home run to fly ball rate's 33.3% right now.
Yeah, that's sustainable.
Yeah, yeah. It will certainly regress, but the signs for a breakout are here. They're here. Okay. He is prime breakout age, plus, you know, his stats have been improving every year in the league.
Yeah, they got a good one there.
Heck yeah. That's another guy that's been blowing up on getting ads on fantasy leagues. Jesse Winker with the Washington Nationals. He's just 17% owned on Yahoo. You're like, oh, that's low as hell. 15% gain in the last day. People are looking out. I looked in our home league today when I was looking up a matchup, and one of my matchups who I'm playing against, he's got him starting this week. I didn't even realize he was on his team. So similar to Haniger, you know, the Winker is another, you know, veteran who enjoyed a strong 21 season, only to watch, you know, his fantasy stock fucking plummet over the past 2 years due to injuries and pretty poor performance. Also, like Haniger, he looks like he's back in his first season here in Washington. 17 games, he's 20 hits for 68 plate appearances, 6 doubles. You love those extra base hits. 2 homers, 5 RBIs, scored 12 runs. He's walked 9 times, struck out 12, added you a couple stolen bases to boot. He's slashing 364, 485, 582 slugging for a 1067 OPS. Walk rate, excellent, 13.2%. Strikeout rate, even fucking better at 17.6. Anytime I find somebody that's striking out less than 20% of the time, I love it. Again, small sample size. Keep an eye on him. You never know. He's just been blowing up lately. He's hit safely in 6 straight games and has scored at least 1 run in 5 out of those last 6 games. He's really been fucking crushing it. Statcast data, it's all red and it's all fantastic. He's an above average hitter in all categories so far this season. He's top 25% or better in expecting batting average. In fact, he's top 10% in expected batting average. 25% or better in slugging rate, barrel rate, sweet spot percentage, chase rate, and that great walk rate, and top 40% in hard hit rate. And he's just been lashing line drives all over the place with above average line drive rate of almost 28%. So 3-game series versus the Dodgers at home. They're mid-pack in ERA. It's the Dodgers. What are you going to do? They're dealing with pitching staff issues. Glasnow looks good, though. But I really love the series. Again, I think he'll still put up production there against the Dodgers, okay? It's going to happen. But the series against Miami, that's a bad team this year so far. 27th in ERA, 28th in opponent batting average. They've given up the most fucking free passes in the league at 87. Top 10 in homers allowed. And third most hits allowed. So get him if you have a spot, and I'd keep him for now. This is somebody you want to hold on to and see what's really going to happen here.
Yep. One thing to keep in mind with that, especially that series with Miami, they got a shit ton of lefties.
Yeah.
And 439 BABIP, that's not going to hang around. I don't have his career numbers in front of me, but I promise it's not over 400. But he's got a good eye. I like the walk rate. I don't know. I wonder what happens to him if they call up Wood.
Yeah.
But that might not be for a minute, and we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yep.
Recurring theme here, ride the hot streak.
Yep.
We got Dubo in the chat. He's got a question. He just grabbed Michael Bush. Congratulations, dude. Do you think he stays productive? Absolutely, I do. The power with him is legit. The 300 average is not. But he's shown throughout the minors that, you know, he's got a good eye at the plate. He knows how to draw a walk. And he routinely hit over 20 home runs pretty much, I don't know, every season he was in the minors. So that part is real. I think he's going to stay productive. I absolutely love the pop, but I think he's going to end up more around the 250, 260 range with a decent on-base percentage, maybe 340, 350. So a little bit above average. But yes, the power is 100% real.
Heck yeah. Yeah, he's just been tearing it up for them.
Yes, he has. So we've got one more waiver wire target we're going to talk about. And this one, on the surface, you might question what the hell is going through my mind as I present him, and that's Jack Suwinski of the Pittsburgh Pirates. He has games at Oakland and at home against Colorado. And as we go and look and see how he's done this year, he's got a 172 average, a 269 on base, 293 slug, good for a 562 OPS, couple dongs, seven stakes. He's a platoon bat, but he's on the strong side of that platoon. He typically hits anywhere between 4 and 6 in the order. His strikeout rate, just 16.5%. Walk rate, just a hair under 12%. And he's got a minuscule 7.2% swinging strike rate. All right, that's fine. But again, why in the hell should I be picking him up? The man doesn't chase. He does not chase pitches out of the zone, and he's got an 85% contact rate. Good things happen when you put the ball in play, right? And he is somebody who is a really, really streaky hitter. And yes, while things are kind of quiet right now, it's not always going to be that way, right? And we're not expecting him to carry a 121 BABIP, a 174 BABIP throughout the rest of the season. We're going to see his numbers improve. If you have the room on your bench to pick up a guy who's just 33% owned and just kind of have him chill there for a minute, you'll get all of the hot streak that's just around the corner.
For sure. You know, what's really keeping him afloat is that amazing walk rate and strikeout rate. So he had a grand slam against the Phillies on Sunday. Like I said, the slash line doesn't look beautiful, but he's still giving some production, and I like it.
All right. Well, that is the episode for today, and it's been a fun one. It's been a fun conversation. I've enjoyed it. But before we sign off completely, we do have a listener league that you know, that we're enjoying, and let's get this up here on the screen. Kyle, you're in first place. Congratulations, buddy. Enjoy that shit, because we both know it's not going to last. You know, I'm right there in second, just kind of biding my time. See, you know, when you have multiple championships across several leagues like I do, you understand that as of April 18th, nothing means nothing.
Yeah,
you take your little moral victory and your participation ribbon, and you put it there next to your dolls behind
you. I'm actually playing you this week in the podcast listener league, and currently up 247 to 176. You are projected to beat me, I should say, by about 25 points, but projections in my mind don't mean jack squat.
Yeah, we got Loud Boy says he's holding down the rear. That's not a surprise, brother. I know you're an ass man, so you go on and do your thing.
Heck yeah. Awesome. Make sure if you like our content, give us a like and subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. We're here every Tuesday, Thursday, live at 7 p.m. Eastern. Appreciate everybody stopping in and checking on Two-Star Pitchers and Waiver Wires for week 5.
Yeah, and we will drop our full Two-Star Pitcher rankings in the comments of this video. We'll make sure it's the pinned comments. It'll be right there at the top for you. Good luck, everybody.
Stay stoned
and stream.